Hey guys, you're listening to the Money Date Podcast, a podcast that my husband and I launched to help young couples get real about their money.
That's right. We'll ask our friends and a few strangers all the uncomfortable and awkward questions about how they handle their money.
All the gory details and hopefully a few tips and tricks along the way that you can pick up and use in your own relationship.
On today's podcast, we have Aaron and Ben, who've been together for 9 years. Hi, I'm Dalmar.
And I'm Aditi.
And we're your hosts, Aaron and Ben. Welcome to the show.
Thank you very much.
So we were talking a bit earlier about baskets, the difference between picnic baskets and laundry baskets.
Hampers.
Yeah, picnic hampers and laundry baskets.
That's it. And what's the difference?
You mean a laundry hamper?
No.
What would you call a hamper, Ben?
A hamper to me evokes picture of someone sitting on a grassy field with a checkered blanket opening like a wicker hamper. Like one side you've got like plates all strapped in, the other side is knives, and inside there's you've got to have the obligatory jam that the ants walk away with in the sort of cartoon style. But yeah, that's a picnic hamper. Is
so no socks, no underwear, undergarments.
No.
Okay.
It has explained why my excitement for picnic hampers has been not really met with the same joy over here.
And so the difference here in what we call the things we put our snacks in to take to the park and the things we put our undergarments in just before washing them arises because the two of you have different backgrounds. You grew up in different places. Where did you first meet?
We met in London.
Is that where the love story began?
Yep. Yes,
indeed.
We met at a pub on Halloween. But it's actually...
Tell us more.
It's better than it sounds. It was a couple of good friends. So my friend Madeline and Ben's friend Anne were both DJs and would put on really cool Halloween parties. So they had this whole pub, invited all their friends. And Madeline invited me, Anne invited Ben. And we kind of saw each other across a crowded room.
Yeah, everything slowed down, the music dimmed, the little spotlight on Erin as she walked in.
What was Erin dressed as?
Why does everyone ask this?
Slutty air hostess.
Okay, what was Ben dressed as?
He was dressed as Alex from The Clockwork Orange.
Okay.
And he even had milk he was drinking.
And that caught your eye in a good way?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Not the milk.
Fair enough.
Ben did, though.
Okay. And where did it go from there?
We just talked a lot that night, and then I made, in hindsight, a very stupid decision to go see him in Bristol.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, but I mean, he was a friend of, you know, a lot of my friends, so I felt comfortable doing that. Mm-hmm. So I went, and we kind of had our first date outside of the pub in his hometown of Bristol. Mm. I wore a coat that was soiled and asked him to wash. I was not sure if it was kebab or barf on my coat.
So yeah, that kind of sealed the deal for me, like Aaron turning up and saying, so just so you know, I'm not really sure if this is barf or kebab. Could you wash it for me?
And you did.
Yeah.
Is that the moment you knew that this was more than just one date? Like kebab / barf.
I charmed him.
You did.
Yeah. How has life changed since then?
Not a lot. Still washing a lot of kebab or barf off clothing. Luckily, it's mostly baby barf rather than Aaron's barf.
So. That's right, you have a newborn, your first kid, Leif.
Indeed.
Who is sleeping a few rooms over. Mm-hmm. So there's kebab, there's barf, there are Halloween outfits. At what point did either of you know that this was more than just a casual relationship?
It was pretty soon. Like, everything moved really fast. Like, I was living in Bristol, Aaron was in London, so that's like over 100 miles away. And just for American people, like, it doesn't sound very far, but in England, everything's really slow and congested. So it's quite hard to get to see each other.
Yeah.
Because you've got to go through London traffic, which is pretty bad.
Not to mention the cost of coming in and out of the city each time.
Exactly.
The congestion charge.
Yeah.
And so you're going back and forth. It becomes evident to the both of you pretty early on that there's something here. At what point do you start to talk about money or finances? What stage in your young relationship at the time do these sorts of themes start to come up for either of you?
Yeah, because it sounds like you were living apart and you were living far away. So there must have been costs traveling back and forth between cities? What was that like?
I think it was pretty rough traveling back and forth, but it was so early, it was also kind of expected.
Yeah.
I remember having some pretty intense conversations early on because we did get serious so quickly. And because we were far apart, it put more pressure to kind of commit so that we could live together. And I remember being really nervous before some of them, but being like, okay, I need to like come clean about everything, if that makes sense. Like just really like be very transparent.
And what did you feel like you needed to be transparent about when you say coming clean? What kinds of conversations were you having and where did that take you?
It was about everything. So everything from what my goals were, you know, one of them being to eventually move back to the U.S., to things like money and practical things about how much I had of it, debts, and anything that Ben would need to know about eventually in order to feel like, okay, our relationship is totally transparent and fair.
Ben, did you feel similarly or did you have a very different experience?
I honestly don't remember, but my life motto from very early age was just tell the truth.
Yeah.
I think I'm fundamentally quite lazy, and lying is a lot of effort. So if you're spinning a yarn, you've got to remember that yarn, and then next time someone asks you about it, you've got to remember the details. If you're just truthful from the outset, you never have any of these issues. So because of my laziness, I'm very honest, and yeah, so I would have told Erin anything she asked me.
But I like that.
Yeah,
I think we can turn that into a t-shirt. I'm too lazy to be a liar.
I think that's a great t-shirt. So if that's one place that it starts for you, one thing that we've noticed talking with other folks and even looking at the surveys that others run when they ask couples, when do you start talking about money? It's really quite rare to start that conversation as early as the two of you did. You said that it was important for you to be transparent. Where did that come from, particularly about money?
When I met Ben, I really liked him, and it was really important for me to invest in that love that I felt and the potential that was there. And I thought that the transparency and honesty was the most important way to do that. Mm. So even though sometimes it was kind of hard or embarrassing or painful, I thought that was the most important investment I could make in our relationship.
Yeah. Where did you model that perspective from? Like, was there something in your childhood or something that you saw, you know, in other relationships around you that made you even want to be that way?
Yeah, I guess it was partly from my parents' relationship. And then I think what influenced me was traveling around quite a lot while younger, not as much as you guys, but I did live in Japan in high school and kind of became acquainted with Buddhism and that sort of concept of, you know, trusting in the universe and wanting it to take you where is right for you and kind of letting go in that sense. And I mean, I don't know if this sounds really cheesy because I've had a little bit of whiskey, but that was part of it. Just being like, I want this to be really natural and not have to hide anything. And like Ben says, not have to keep up any lies or put any effort into that. Be able to focus entirely on the relationship and what it means rather than other crap.
So you guys moved in together early in your relationship, and you're living in a shared house with other roommates, and you're sharing a room with these other roommates. How did all that work? I'm curious.
So I think that was the sort of the start of our real kind of like cost sharing, because we were sharing a room and there was two other housemates and they had a room to themselves, but we had the biggest. We were on the floor to ourselves in the loft.
Which I won by drawing straws.
Very nice.
She's going to be on my team.
And yeah, and then we tried to sit down and say, well, splitting this four ways, the rent four ways equally is not fair because we've only got one room, albeit a larger room. I remember we were doing loads of calculations. We did square footage calculation. Wow. Obviously, like bills should be shared between four of us, but then it was all about the sort of square footage. I remember being like
Is that what you settled on, square footage?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think the other two were kind of begrudgingly accepting.
I was embarrassingly aggressive about this. I remember that.
Do you remember why?
The market value of this room is not XXX, it's YYY. And now in hindsight, I probably would have been a little bit more giving.
What's the change?
Money wasn't like way more tight than it is now.
Yeah.
So it sounds like you were having this conversation with your roommates. How about between the two of you? How did that go? How did you guys figure out how to split the bills?
I think we always came from a starting point of we are a team, and what we have as disposable income or discretionary income should be fair and shared. So like we each get the same amount of discretionary income, and whoever is making more kind of covers more of the bills to make that happen. But then conversely, like whoever happens to have more quote unquote wealth in terms of time may help out more around the house or with chores that need to happen. Mm-hmm. So it's trying to like have that even split of where we both have the same amount of disposable income, but also like same amount of time, because money is not everything, right? So you kind of want to share that load in both senses equally.
Did you come to that by trial and error?
No, I think I gotta give Erin credit for coming up with that. It seems like obvious in hindsight, but it probably was one of like her clever schemes, shall we say, that we ended up with that one. You were definitely the driving force behind all the mathematics behind it, that's for sure.
The CFO in the relationship, yeah. So yeah, to speak.
Maybe the catalyst for it was because we wanted to start saving for a house. So then we're like, oh, okay, we need to go through how much do we earn, what our budget is, what are our expenses, and like that process of thinking to ourselves, we have this goal of X per month savings, how do we make that happen, then drove the rest of the conversations, I feel like. And like a big...
Yeah, we worked back from those goals,
yeah,
and bills, and then ended up, the final pot was...
discretionary.
Yeah, our fun money.
Talk to us a little more about how exactly you split your finances. Do you put your incomes both into the same account and then pull out that discretionary funding? How does it work?
Yes.
Yeah.
Just a year and a half after we moved in, we got our own place without housemates. And then I just remember we went and set up a joint account, and then we started putting...
So you set up a joint account before you were married?
So in terms of our shared account, we actually have a now defunct startup application that Ben kind of developed along with a good friend of his that we use to split our account into numerous, I guess you could call them sub-accounts. So they, each sub-account has a specific use. So like one of them would be Aaron's discretionary income. One of them is mortgage, one of them is utility bills, etc.
It's almost like buckets.
It is.
That's
buckets.
Exactly,
yeah.
The term we used.
Oh, well,
so
there we go.
That was called Liza after the child rhyme.
There's a
called...
hole in my bucket.
Oh.
Dear Liza.
I know that song.
Yeah,
I used
so
to sing that all the time.
Yeah, so we plugged the hole in the bucket with Liza's help.
There's a bucket for your leather jacket.
That's my embarrassing bucket because I haven't renamed it. It's more like frivolous stuff.
Sure. This is quite remarkable because it seems as if you settled on a system very early, and that system is one that you've stuck with from year one all the way through now. Were there any points along the way where you questioned it or thought of changing things up?
I don't think so. I think it's been really successful from the start. It's like reduced any kind of stress around money. You know, I don't think we've ever really argued over spending, especially because we've got our own sort of personal spending bucket, and it allows us to have our frivolities, and there's no comeback because it's not like I've just bought this new camera. I'm pointing to it, but you can't see on the radio. It's amazing. 3D camera, and there's no like blowback from Aaron looking at me.
There's
going,
no guilt.
Yeah, there's like, why have you bought a camera with two lenses? It looks stupid. It's because I've spent it with my frivolous bucket account,
yeah.
And Aaron knows that money's like, I've saved it up, I put it aside, and I can do with it what I want.
That's really funny because Delmer buys stuff with his frivolous bucket, and I still.
She's still questioning.
I still question. I'm like, those shoes. Those are Hobbit shoes. Why do we need those?
Deep down inside, I question it.
Yeah. I think you're going to buy a Hobbit shoe. I think everyone should question that.
Thank you. Ben's on my team, just to be clear. Got it. And so it sounds like you guys are just used to winning, right? Like you just found a model. It worked. You haven't really argued about finances or about money. Like, what are some of your best habits that made you this way? Like, how do other people become you guys?
I think being like open and honest up front, as we've already mentioned,
yeah.
and not being afraid to like trust each other. Because I think that's, for me, like just opening up a bank account and putting all our money together was a very natural thing to do. It wasn't a point of concern for me that Erin may take my monthly wage and then run off to Ireland.
Erin, all the things you could have done.
Yeah.
All the things you could have done.
I think so. We've been lucky in a sense in that we have similar goals financially and started out that way. And I could imagine scenarios where that's not true for everyone. So I think for us, that was kind of like a tailwind. But then the other thing that I kind of enjoy, because I'm sort of a miser and also think has helped us, is like Ben and I have kind of a ritual we go through, and it's really Liza that's been the catalyst for that, where every couple of weeks, or maybe 3 weeks sometimes a month, sometimes once a week, we go through and allocate the money that we spend and kind of sit down and say like, oh, okay, how are we doing on expenses and food money? How are we doing on our own discretionary money? What do we think, you know, Leif's care is going to cost, and how is that going to eat into our funds? So we have these pretty regular conversations that's helped us kind of like keep our goals aligned. So
to be clear, I didn't ask you, let's just be honest, I did not ask you to say that. The podcast is called The Money Date because we deeply believe that regular conversations about money are awesome. But I love that you actually came to that conclusion on your own.
Like I said, I think some of it was just sort of luck that we happened to be on the same page, but then keeping on the same page. And I found this in other aspects of our relationship too. It's not just about money, but just maintaining the same interests or the same goals has kind of communication, that regular communication and transparency has been important.
Mm-hmm. There are other tools out there that one can use to keep track of one's finances and spending. Why, Ben, did you create Liza, and why do the two of you continue to use it today?
When Stuart and I started to talk about this, we realized we both had the same frustration with trying to keep track of all our accounts, because Erin and I had already started doing this. That's not my heavy breathing, by the way.
That's just our dog, Goose, in the background.
That's Goose in the background, wondering
where
Ben and Aaron's kid, Leif, is. He smells it.
He's providing his own soundtrack. You don't need money, guys. All you need is love.
Yeah, and cookies. Cookies.
Lots of cookies.
From that shared pain, like, Stuart's married and he was, like, budgeting. He's got four kids. It's the same sort of slightly more advanced
complex. With four kids, you're really budgeting.
Yeah
And his kids got into it too.
Wow.
Yeah. So yeah, we just started from there and we came up with this process, which like I will try not to go on too much, but all the other financial apps are just interested in pie charts and graphs. Like all the banks, when they try and do something, they just do it badly, and it's just a usability nightmare. So we just tried to make it as easy as possible for you to do this.
Do you schedule this time together? Because you said sometimes we do it weekly, sometimes we do it every 3 weeks.
I usually think to myself, ooh, I really like that pair of jeans, but I don't know how much discretionary money I have. And then I send Ben a WhatsApp. Hey, do you want to do Liza tonight?
It's so kind of a then, week overdue on that.
Wow, you guys just made that sound like a really sexy date night.
Yeah.
Is it the same for you? Is it usually you, Erin, starting the conversations, or Ben, do you sometimes start them? And if you do, is it because you've also seen a very handsome pair of jeans that you want to buy and it's been a while since you've talked
most
money?
Likely more sexy tech.
Okay.
It's like Erin is more of a driver behind.
I'm
keeping
like
on top.
68% of the driver.
It's not too bad.
No, I think Ben is pretty proactive about it, but I'm a little bit more.
Yeah.
Okay. So it sounds like
am
you
I
have
the driver, or are you the driver?
I think you're the driver.
Yeah,
I think that's fairly clear. This is an interesting idea, and this for many people is a novel idea. The idea of having some kind of a fun event around your money and expenses as the both of you drive toward your goals together. What does having a money date or working or talking together with the aid of Liza look like? What do these conversations usually go like? Is there a bottle of wine involved, or is it just Liza
or whiskey?
And or whiskey
or more whiskey?
So, I mean, I would say the idea is now planted to involve whiskey, which I think is a good one.
Yep.
But I wouldn't actually say that they're necessarily fun the way that we do them now. It's usually like, oh, okay, we got to do this. So we do it on a Saturday morning while Leif is taking his nap. The fun part is finding out how much you've saved towards your goal once you've actually tallied all the numbers, and maybe this is the miser part of me. So I actually think in our process, there's probably room for improvement to make it fun, because it's not...
It's a chore, but it's one that has really good outcomes.
I feel so satisfied at the end, because you know exactly where you stand.
Yeah, especially when you see your own bucket, and you're like, I've got that much to blow on stupid things again.
Or in the case of me, it may be negative. Which does happen. But then at least I know, okay, I need to like chill out for a little bit and save that money back up. And it's just a good feeling.
Yeah. And what's that goal you're saving for? What's the next goal on your hit list?
Oh.
Yes, because you guys recently bought a house. You recently had a baby. So you're just crushing it.
This question makes me realize how superficial I am. Because I'm like, oh... My goal is a nice holiday, but actually, really, I think there's more we could do and think about. Like you say, like the next big life thing, like what would be meaningful?
I don't know, Erin. A nice holiday might be a goal I'm willing to sign up for too. So I think I'm in that bandwagon.
Yeah, nice, nice experiences and trips sound fantastic.
So that's the reason actually I bought this book, Epic Bikes, Bike Rides of the World. With my discretionary money, and it's to research a big kind of bike holiday that we could take Leif on.
Okay.
And there's one that I found in there in Ecuador that actually has trails that are big enough for a trailer, so a kid as young as 2 years old can sit in there while we go on a bike ride through Ecuador.
I actually hand built a bike mobile for the goose that we call the Goose Mobile. Oh, and nice. Biked him all over Denver. I'm pretty sure there are Instagram videos of us somewhere.
Cool.
So I completely buy into this vacation, and I'm now inviting myself.
I just have one. I thought we were going to get Leif to do his fair share of the pedaling. Two, come on. You can walk, here we have to pedal.
You can drag us, yeah.
Yeah.
That's a good idea.
You said that it feels like a chore to do the money dates sometimes. What about it feels like a chore?
So the biggest bit is the credit card bills, which is like working out what we spent what on. And apportioning it to the buckets.
The reconciliation
of
credit cards.
Yeah. And these conversations usually happen on a Saturday. How long do they take you typically?
Pretty quick.
Half an hour?
Yeah, half an hour to an hour. If there's like, we probably slacked off a bit. The next one's probably going to be a nasty one.
Because it's been a while since you've had the last.
Yeah. I mean, it was worse just after Leif was born because we had no idea about what we were spending. What we had to spend our money on. You know, like babies need what? Clothes? 2 weeks old? What?
Put a diaper on them and call it a day.
Exactly.
Well, actually, I feel like they don't need clothes until they're like 3 weeks old.
Well, we didn't dress him until he was two.
What was the most surprising baby expense that you didn't anticipate having to spend money on?
Well, this is really naive, but I didn't realize how expensive childcare was.
Childcare.
Okay, so let's switch gears a little bit. We're going to switch it up and play a sort of variation of the honeymoon game. Do you guys know what that game is? Have you ever played it?
I do.
Mm-hmm. Never played it. No.
Okay, well, here we go. So our version of the honeymoon game involves asking you 5 questions, which we asked you to write down answers for before we sat down and started recording this podcast.
Correct.
And we're now going to ask you guys to actually share the answers to those questions for everyone listening and for our own benefit. So the first question, if your partner won the lottery, let's say, just to be clear, more than $1 million, what would be the first thing they spent their winnings on?
Mrs. Pre-tax.
I appreciate that clarification.
So I think I put down 3 things for Ben. So I think the first thing he would do, and we're assuming we've paid off our mortgage, because if not, it would be the mortgage.
Was that Ben's decision or...
I just know that's what he'd do. So I think he'd make some stock market investments in index funds. And then he would set aside like probably a pretty hefty chunk of that towards an awesome holiday. And by awesome, I mean as in space. And then the third thing is I think he would set aside enough money to fund Leif's care or schooling.
What do you think, Ben?
I would definitely say yes to the space program because I'm utterly selfish and dedicated to launching myself into space.
That's not true.
Leif, care. I didn't actually think about stock market.
You have some money left over.
Which makes you sound really responsible.
Yeah. I like to picture myself in that light, but the inner voice is just laughing at me going, "You're not like that. You just go down the pub."
No, he wouldn't. He would definitely save the money for Leif.
What would Erin spend the money on?
I have to pronounce this correctly. She would probably spend some of it on animals.
Animals.
Yes.
On Erin, what?
Animals, as she likes to call them. Erin has like a massive, warm, fuzzy heart, and at the moment she's pointing at goose, but she's like been researching where to go to visit local farms to go and pet animals.
Oh, that's amazing.
Obviously, because we've got a young kid who will probably love doing that. But last time we went, I was left holding Leif whilst Erin ran off to hug the baby goats. Like, we looked at her and like, "Where's Erin?" And then we heard this like giggling, excited noise, and she was around the corner hugging goats. So at the moment, she's like amazing. Probably using Leif as cover for hugging cute animals. But like with money, she'd probably use it to like either help out if there's a struggling farm or something like that. Just, you know, give more people a chance to hug cute animals.
I love it.
That's amazing.
And I also wrote down Leif security, as in obviously not a big bouncer, but as in provide for his future. But also a baby bouncer with
The image, just the contrast of this tiny human being next to a massive one. Sounds like it's an MTV show in the making.
Absolutely.
All right, the second question is, what's one purchase that your partner has made in the last year that you're still trying to understand? Why don't we start with you this time, Ben?
The amount of clothes that are purchased.
I'll give
dispensation for the fact that Erin's gone through pregnancies. We've had to go through like five clothes sizes, but then still just the amount of clothes that are purchased. That's the one that gets me.
Yeah.
How about you, Erin?
So, to be totally transparent, I couldn't think of anything. But, in the interest of humor, I put potato ricer. What is that? And why do we need it?
Ben, over to you.
Well,
Ben, what is a potato ricer?
And why do we need it?
It is simply the best way to have mashed potato.
So. To create rice out of potatoes.
Ultimately, to have the best creamy mash ever. That's, you know, it's an important thing. If you get good sausages, nothing will ruin sausage and mash more than lumpy potato.
Oh.
Seen it used that much.
Was this a shared or discretionary expense?
Ooh, it was a shared expense.
Bold move. You're such a teammate.
Yeah.
My clothes are discretionary. Yeah, they're coming out of the Erin bucket. Right.
This is you bringing a bit of home with you then to San Francisco.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't think other British people use these either.
We'll need to check. We'll need to validate that. Thank you. Okay, question number three. Complete the following sentence. When it comes to money, one thing we cannot agree on is blank. Go for it, Ben.
The blank would be what to do with inheritances.
Mm. Tell us more.
I thought we agreed.
So, as in our parents. So my view is, like, I don't want my parents to die. Obviously, they will at some point. But I don't want them to die and leave me money. I want them to have blown the freaking lot and maybe be in debt or, like, borrowing money off me at the end. Because there's no point, like, living life to the full if you're saving a massive pot to give to your kid at the end of it. Just blow it. Have fun with it.
Yeah. And that's your personal plan too, right?
Absolutely. I'm going to just... When I die, I'll leave a little, like, maybe a small... ashtray with sorry Leif written in it.
Is that your plan too, Erin?
No, so my plan is to squirrel away as much as I possibly can and leave it all to Leif.
This is going to be a hell of an inheritance. An ashtray and a lot of money.
Yeah.
But the bonus is that we've agreed that our inheritances from our parents are kept separate. So therefore, mm-hmm. I will just pass mine to Leif.
Okay.
And the reasoning behind this is because I feel like the social divide is just widening and the middle class is disappearing, so I'm worried about that and want to make sure Leif has a safety net.
I just want to go to space.
That's a hell of a reason. Aaron, what did you say?
So I said that we have a hard time agreeing on our level of concern around the cost of raising a baby, because I am less concerned than Ben. We agree on the cost, but the level of concern is different.
You're Say kind more. Of like, we'll figure it out?
That's how I am. I just figure, you know, there's been X billion people who have done this. We'll find some way to make it work. So I just don't worry about it and kind of cross that bridge when we get to it.
Yeah. And how does Ben approach it?
So I approach it by worrying about it and trying to see, you know, whether Leif's good looking enough to become maybe a baby model.
Hey, we tried that with Goose. If you know anyone, an agent.
Goose became a baby model?
Well, a dog model. Oh. We met a guy in
that
Brooklyn.
Might have been the problem.
No, we met a guy in Brooklyn who was paying his entire mortgage off of his dog, who was featured in all the Kate Spade ads. So we're like, okay, we could do this. So it's a completely viable
approach.
He's
got big blue eyes. He's got rosy cheeks.
From a rash.
It's easy makeup anyway.
It's a start. Yep. They don't have to know that.
Yeah. So if anyone's looking
tell
for
at a distance.
Anyone's looking for a cute baby, just email cutebaby@benandaaron.com.
There we go.
Located in San Francisco. Willing to fly.
Yeah, we'll post them anywhere. Yeah. Aaron works for a logistics company, so we can pretty much package him and send him off anywhere.
Temperature controlled. Yeah. Comfortable temperature.
Yeah. First class.
What money question do you think is important to ask your partner when things start to get serious? Let's start with you, Aaron.
I think the most important money question is around their debts and assets. So just to understand where they stand financially is kind of my starting point.
Yeah.
There are, of course, many follow-on questions to this, but that would be my starting point.
Yeah. If Ben listed potato ricer as one of his assets, what would be a follow-on question?
The follow-on question would be like, what is this? I don't understand.
Can we really call it an asset?
Right. Or is this actually just a liability?
Ben, what did you say?
I'd just like to say that next time you're around, I'm going to make you mash potatoes.
In defense of the potato.
He's going to use the potato ricer, which he normally does not use.
But if it makes excellent mash,
yeah,
I'll be over easy.
Yeah.
I think like being honest to when we first met, I never asked any of these questions. But I do remember asking slightly tongue-in-cheek when Aaron will earn enough for me to become a kept man or to become a house husband. Mm. That was one of our serious plans. Mm. When
it was?
You don't seem to remember.
Before we moved here, I remember talking about it, but I don't remember it being serious. Well, I thought that was serious. I thought I was going to become the house husband, bake bread every day, cook food, look after the screaming antichrist, my child. I mean, it was like something I considered, because I think at the time Aaron was earning a lot more than me, and we naively thought me coming here would be harder for me to earn money because of my age, but then San Francisco and I'm a developer and things were fine. So I could have seen a point where if one of us had to stay at home, that happened, but then we didn't factor in the ridiculous cost of living in San Francisco, the ridiculous cost of everything in San Francisco, to be fair. So that was, you know, when we got here, it was like never an option. We never talked about it again because we'd have to go and live in Nebraska. Then it would work.
Okay, last and final question. What's your spending number? What's the number that you guys check in with each other on before you spend from your shared pool?
I would say $90. However, I would like to caveat that it depends on the commodity. So if it's something that I know is needed, for example, our AAA membership or a car tune-up, I'd probably go up to like $500. if it's something that is discretionary, in quotes, like expensive grocery bill or something that is shared but is kind of discretionary, then it's $90 for me.
How about you, Ben?
Yeah, mine's between 50 and 100. Again, like, because we're very similar, it was depending on what type of stuff I was buying. So obviously, maybe in the future, if I was buying another potato riser, if mine for some reason met an unfortunate accident, I would maybe double check before buying the next one.
It's so funny, Dumber and I did this exact same question exercise, and his answer was $20 and mine was $250. So clearly not on the same page. Cool. So I just wanted to say, first of all, thank you guys. Like, I know talking about money, talking about it on a podcast with, millions of people listening can be a scary thing. And the fact that you guys are game to do it, are game to laugh about it, and are game to share as much as you're willing to share about it, I think is a pretty awesome thing. So thank you for being our first guests.
Yes, indeed.
This is Money Date.
This is the inaugural show, and in and along the way, you've introduced America to another definition of hamper and potato ricers. And
can I add one?
Add another.
So Ben always laughs at me for saying bathing suit.
It is bathing suit.
What do you say?
Okay, you know what they say in
swimming
the UK?
Swimming costume.
He laughs at me.
Wait.
A bathing suit.
Wait.
Is less bad.
You're not having a laugh, right? This is, it's
no,
called.
No, they call it a swimming costume. Yeah.
That's true. I did grow up with swimming costume. Yeah, I understand exactly what you mean.
But then upon reflection, I was like, okay, to be fair, bathing suit. Is so weird too.
At least
but
costume like evokes the idea of you looking stupid. Bathing suit, you know, makes it sound like it's a smart thing. And someone's wearing a pair of budgie
by
smugglers.
By smart, he means like posh.
Posh, yeah.
And on that note, folks, thank you for listening to this episode of The Money Date.
Join us next week. Bye.
Episode of The Money Date.
Join us next week. Bye.
The Money Date podcast is an initiative of Zeta, a company that I launched to help couples track and manage their finances together. If you're inspired by what you heard on this show, you can learn more at zetahelp.com.